What is up, Atlanta? Happy Monday with Turtle on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I am with you for the full four plus one because we got the Atlanta baseball postgame show tonight. Your only place to talk Atlanta Braves baseball immediately following the last out of every home game. And Orin Romain, for the first time in what feels like about 6 months, we have some positivity to talk about with the Atlanta Braves. I mean, 7 of 8, Waldrop looking like
what is going on?
Looking like the stud that was drafted out of Florida, Michael Harris.
370 for the month of August, Chris.
This dude.
370.
You ready for this? I put out this stat over the weekend at C Thomas Radio. Give me a follow on Twitter. Also follow the show page at CT Tonight 929. In one calendar month. And that month being from July to August, so almost as late in the season as you can possibly do this, Michael Harris Jr. in one calendar month raised his batting average almost 50 points. 50 in one calendar month.
And he's hitting 253 or 254 right now.
And he was at 211 on July 15th. Let that sink in, people. If you don't understand why that's so hard to do at this point in the season, because if you have, 500 plate appearances on the season, you're 3/4 of the way through that already this time of the year. So the numbers have been compiled already, and they don't work in your favor. So for you to raise your batting average 45 points in a calendar month is damn impressive.
And there's still 12 days to go in this month.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So he's playing like an all-star. Baldwin's really good. Ozuna from the Braves is hitting home runs. I mean, what happened to this team? They still don't have anybody that can pitch. But they're making it work. Strider's not the and Orin, the irony is Strider's been awful. Not just bad. He's been awful. In his last two starts, he's given up 17 hits. If you want to just let that sink in and do with that information as you will. 17 hits in his last two starts. Not good, peeps. And I love the Strider's fine. I love that crowd from a couple of weeks ago. You people told me I was crazy when I said maybe think about putting him in the bullpen. You kill two birds with one stone if he's good. You have no closer. And Strider, maybe if you just have him go out there for an inning, could figure it out. But no, I was crazy. Whatever. They're not going to do it now. It's too late in the season, and it wouldn't be for anything. So I don't know why they would do it. But at the end of the day, Braves are rocking and rolling right now. So, you know, White Sox stink. They have nobody to speak of. Braves should win tonight. And hopefully from 10 to 11, it's me and you on the phones talking about, you know, what this means for the future and how much better you feel than this time you did a month ago about some of these guys. It's crazy. But what's even crazier is now it's official. Now it's official. We all knew it was official, but now it's official. We've been talking about it for weeks, and today Raheem Morris at practice made it official. There will be no Kirk Cousins. There will be no Michael Penix Jr. in this preseason. Raheem Morris made it official today. Zach Robinson doubled down. We'll let you hear that in just a second. There will be no preseason action for Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins. My question to you on the phones, Falcons fans, 404-726-0929. Now that this is officially official, and you know what the deal is, here's my question. We've been debating this, bouncing this back and forth, and now we're going to close this chapter after tonight of the 2025 Falcons season. It's three words. You know what those three words are in? Do you care? Question mark. 404-726-0929. It is officially official. Michael Penix Jr., Kirk Cousins will not see any preseason action this season. Do you care? And if you do care, tell me why. And if you don't care, tell me why. 404-726-0929. I care. Do you guys know Mahomes and the starters are playing again for the Chiefs? You guys know that Joe Flacco was named the starter of the Browns today, and he's playing in their third and final preseason game to get some action because he didn't play in the first two? Do you care? I care. I've been waffling. I've been talking about it with you over these last couple of weeks. We've had great conversations on the phones, and now it's official. So one final time for the 2025 season, do you care? 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. I care. I think it's important. Like, if Michael Penix Jr. was a seven-year vet, had three Pro Bowls under his belt, and, you know, the offense was in its fifth year under Zach Robinson, and things were humming, and, you know, he had hundreds of reps in live games to Drake London and Bijan and Kyle and everybody else and that's going to be involved. That would be one thing. I get it. You know, why not? You know, there's a good argument to be made for sitting him. He's played three games. Three games. And Joe Burrow played. Mahomes played. Sam Darnold played. Joe Flacco's going to play this weekend. Like, you can't coach scared. You can't do it. You can't do it. Injuries happen. Look what happened to Darnell Mooney. He was just going to make a catch in practice, and he landed on his arm, and he hasn't been seen in weeks. It just happens. Football is one sport where you cannot coach scared. Basketball, maybe you have a back-to-back, you sit him. Baseball, you have a, you know, 9 games in 10-day stretch. Maybe during the middle of that, you give a couple of your starters a night off. You can't win every game in baseball. Football, you get 17 of them suckers, man. You can't coach scared. Even just a series, or even just two series. To get your feet wet, maybe you take a blow, you absorb it, you get that contact, that real feel. It's not the same. Again, I said this last week. It's not the same as the joint practices. It's just not. I've seen a preseason game in person, and I've seen joint practices in person. I'm speaking from experience. Joint practices, while yes, there is thudding, there's contact, it is controlled. It is very controlled, as a matter of fact. Coaches are on the field. Players are watching from the sidelines. Everybody's in it in unison of what the game plan is. The fact that there is a game plan. There is no game plan in a real game. You line up across from the guy in front of you and you try to eat his lunch. That's what you do. There's no control there. There's no, you know, 70%. It's full go. Even in a preseason game. We certainly saw that in game number one against the Lions with what happened. So 404-726-0929. The question tonight might be the simplest one I've ever asked in the history of Chris Thomas Tonight. It was official, confirmed. No preseason action for Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins. Do you care? That's what we're talking about tonight on Chris Thomas Tonight, 6 to 10, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you can't get through on the phones, hit me up at CT Tonight 929. Going to put up a poll in the break that you can go vote on. Again, the question is going to be simple. Do you care? Yes or no? We got a busy, busy show ahead. Joe Patrick's going to stop by later on in the hour. We got plenty of guests. My buddy Danny Vietti's going to break down the Braves and what the heck is going on with them and their hot streak. So we got a busy, busy show on a Monday for you. And then the Atlanta baseball postgame show comes your way after the game. I'm back with your calls at 404-726-0929. Do you care that Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. will see a combined total of zero snaps in the preseason? Yes or no? 404-726-0929. 0929. Chris Thomas tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Do you care is the question we're asking tonight at 404-726-0929 and at CT tonight. 929 is the Twitter handle to go vote on the poll if you can't get through on the phones. Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins will not play this preseason. Raheem Morris made that officially official today. Three-word question today, the simplest one I've ever asked in almost 5 months of doing Chris Thomas tonight. Do you care? Yes or no? Early returns in? No. 57%? Okay. All right. So the new age model, the new Roz messaging, getting across to the fan base and saying, I don't care what Mahomes does. I don't care what Sam Darnold does. I don't care what Joe Flacco does. They are not I, and we are not they. And we do not have to succumb to the pressure of the media or the fans and saying, we want to see our guy. You'll see him when you see him. And that is week one versus Tampa Bay. Interesting. We'll see if the votes change as the show goes on. But again, doing a quick refresh right now. No. Yeah, 56.3%. All right, let's see what you have to say on the phones. 404-726-0929. Connor starts us off. Connor, go ahead.
Yes, I absolutely care. I think he should get a couple drives. I mean, he needs to get his feet wet, and he should have a preseason experience. I understand, you know, coach, you know, doesn't really operate that way, and, you know, the importance of the preseason only goes so far for him, but this whole situationship with Kirk, I mean, he needs some reps, you know. We're trying to go to the playoffs. It's been 7 years. Let's see him play just a drive or two.
Yeah, Connor, I agree, and you know what? The other funny thing about that is, too, Oren, did you see? It was in the fourth quarter. But did you see what happened in the fourth quarter of the game on Friday?
I saw some things that happened in the fourth quarter of the game.
You had two wasted timeouts. You know why? They couldn't get the damn play done in
time. That's right. Emery couldn't get the ball snapped in time.
Twice. Did that give anyone else PTSD? Gave me a little bit. Couple of times last season where Raw and the offense were out of sync, to say the least. Disaster mode, to say the most. And that reared its ugly head again. Although, caveat, TJ Yates was calling the plays, not Zach Robinson. So maybe a little grace there, but still. I did not like seeing that. Connor, I agree with you 100%. Dave's up next. Dave, what do you think?
Man, I'm with you, and I'm with the last caller. And it's for the last point that you just made, too. It's not just that it was – it doesn't matter who the quarterback was in that last preseason game. I remember an NFL vet who prides himself on brain power and who's done a ton of shift, motion, offense stuff. Kirk Cousins had a hard time making the mechanics of this offense work last year. Like, they had to use all kinds of timeouts last year. And for them not to get any snaps in the preseason, I think it's just crazy, man. Because we're not quick starters, and I'm pretty sure we got a new center too. So when your battery is new, man, you got to run that engine.
No, Dave, you're 100% right. Thanks for checking in at 404-726-0929. I agree. 2 for 2 with the callers. I agree so far. Just something, a series or two. Just to get the feel of the game. That's a real thing, y'all. I don't care what anybody tells me. I'll die on that hill. We can ask Mike Johnson. We can ask anybody. Getting the feel of the game, of being actually on the field, getting the play call in, getting the snap count done with real crowd noise, real people in the stadium cheering and hooting and hollering, the guys along the front from you, calling you every name in the book, trying to get you rattled. You can't replace that stuff. Again, joint practice is not enough for me. I've seen it up close in person. I have seen it. It's just not a game. It's not a game. It's not the same thing. 404-726-0929. It's pretty close. not the same thing. Let's go out to Kareem, my boy. Kareem.
Turtle, what up, my boy?
Yo.
Hey, man, I don't really feel like I'm being contrarian here. I kind of feel like I'm in on the side of the majority of fans. No, it's not that big of a deal. And here's my point, Turtle. So you referenced Mahomes, Joe Burrow. If I'm not mistaken, I know for sure Mahomes, he only played one possession, right? If anything, Turtle, if anybody needs reps during preseason or at all, it's guys that tackle the ball. They don't tackle no more in practice, and they don't do two-a-days no more. Oklahoma drills and things of that nature long gone in the pros. But they don't tackle. So once game one, first week, what you're going to see the most sloppy looking on the field is going to be tackling, man. It's not going to be Penix's connection with his receivers. It's not going to be Bijan. So I don't think that you getting four series max out of Penix, or let's just say you got six series and all this whole preseason. I don't think that's it's not gonna make a break it.
But Kareem, and I appreciate the call, my guy. Thanks for checking in. I would agree with you if he was a seasoned vet, but he's not. If this was Kirk Cousins starting, I'd be a lot more fine with it. Although this year, Orrin would want to see Kirk Cousins in the preseason if he was the starter, just to make sure he was healthy. But generally speaking, if it was a guy like a Kirk Cousins, I'd be a lot more fine with it than I would be if it was somebody, Kareem, who's only made three starts in the NFL. That's the difference for me. Josh is up next. Josh, do you care? Yes or no? All right, 404-726-0929. Matthew's up next. Matthew, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle, going to sound redundant here, and you and the others have stolen much of my thunder, but your last point is the point. All I hear, and not just from Falcons camp, but I hear it from other teams as well, that they're seeing what they need to see in practice in the scrimmages, but they're wearing red jerseys on the quarterbacks. They're not being hit. They're not going to the ground. I don't know how anyone thinks anything they're doing in the preseason training camps is simulating a game. It isn't a game. And that guy has taken snaps for three games. I don't know what the percentage of the teams that are not starting their quarterbacks, but I think if we look into it, the guys that have as few snaps as the Falcons quarterback or less, I would venture to think that most of those are playing in the preseason.
Well, yeah, you're essentially sense to me. Yeah, you're 100% right, and I appreciate the phone call, because you know why you're right? Because the only other ones that have done that much or fewer, Orrin, you know what they are? Rookies. Because Penix played in three games last year. The only amount you could have played less would have been two games or one game. So, yes, by the numbers, as we like to say on 92.9 The Game, you're 100% right. Cam Ward played in the preseason. You know how many games he started? Zero. Why? He's a rookie. Dylan Gabriel, you know how many games he started? Zero. Jackson Dart? Zero. There is nobody else like Michael Penix. He's in a weird, category all by himself. A guy that got a little bit of run last year, but it's not somebody that's, veteran status at this point. He's just not. Matthew's up next. Matthew, go ahead. Oh, let's go to David up next. David, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle. How's it going today, buddy?
What's up, David?
Listen, I would rather see them play. And if I'm honest, if you tell me they're going to play in one game, the one game I pick is an away game. You know what? You play in an away game, your offensive line is going to do silent count. And, oh, guess what? In one of your two or three drives that you do, we're actually going no huddle. Because I want to see what you do at the end of a half or at the end of a game when we're in a no-huddle situation. What I'm going to do is put you in the absolute worst possible situations, because I want to see you and let you get an opportunity to get some experience doing that. Because, honestly, I don't really care what it looks like with you running the normal offense that you're going to do at Tampa Bay. What I want to see is what you're going to do when you're in the Metrodome or you're in some kind of a really bad situation and get you and all the rookies some experience doing that stuff.
No, you're 100% right. I agree and appreciate the phone call. They would have had that opportunity on Friday at Jerry's World. You talk about a hostile environment. That place is going to be filled, what, 80,000 people? I mean, that place is a spectacle. That place, I don't care what event it is, it sells out. And it's one of the more crazy environments in the NFL. So, yeah, you want to be challenged. You want to have to – that's exactly what I'm talking about, y'all. Getting the calls in, lining formations, no false start penalties, which both tackles, Oren, by the way, two each in the game against the Titans. Left tackle had two and the right tackle had two penalties. Yeah, not what you want. Backup offensive line is a mess right now. So let's just at least see the starters for a second to make sure that they're fine. And I think they will be, but that's not the point. At the end of the day, I think they should have played just a little bit. Just a little bit. All right, great job on the phones, 404-726-0929. When we get back, let's chat with our buddy Joe Patrick. What did he see at practice today? And what did Zach Robinson have to say about the starters at QB not playing? All that and more as we roll along. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Ah, yes. When you hear this music, you know what time it is. There is so much going on at Flowery Branch that we need to discuss. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Let's waste no time and head out to the very busy WadeFord.com hotline with our man Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out Joe Patrick on Football, the new podcast covering all things Falcons and NFL. Joe, we got so much to get into. Let's make sure we hit all of it. First and foremost, what's going on with Jalen Walker? What is the level of concern?
I would say it's moderately concerning, not necessarily this particular injury. It doesn't sound like it's too bad. Raheem Morris said that he suffered a bit of a groin injury, like literally in the last play of practice at the joint practices against the Titans on that Wednesday, the final day before the preseason game. So he was obviously held out of that game. Raheem said he was not going to be on the field today, though surprisingly he was on the field participating or at least on the field for individual drills. Not a participant, obviously, in the contact stuff, but they said that they want to integrate him back into the practice on Wednesday, so it seems like he maybe is already ahead of schedule on that front. I just say the concerning part about it is that he's now had a couple of these issues. I believe it was a hamstring previously that was holding him out for about a week. So a little concerning about the soft tissue stuff that's happening with him and maybe some other players as well. You can kind of see it cropping up around the team. But, good news in the sense that he's likely going to be back. And I feel totally confident that he's at least going to be available for the team for that week one game.
Okay, so with that, they've made a bunch of roster moves over the last couple of days. Let's just go over them. Emory Hunt, no longer on the squad, replaced by Ben DiNucci, who I'm assuming will get some action in the final preseason game on Friday. You bring in another edge rusher. You bring in some help in the secondary. Are these all just minor moves, Joe, or anything raise your eyebrow in terms of something that could have a significant impact on the squad?
Some of them are minor. I would say most of them are minor. I think at this time you're just trying to figure out how to get yourself situated to get through this next game, because while there's been lots of debate about players not playing in preseason games, it's this third preseason game where I think you're really going to see even more guys sit out, and that means that they have to have some players who are up and available to play. And it's not just, obviously, that's kind of demeaning to say that you're just signing players to, like, be warm bodies to go out there on the field. I'm sure that there is interest from the Falcons in seeing what these players can offer, and that's the reason why they sign them and bring them into the camp and bring them in, and, you know, likely some of them are going to play in the preseason game on Friday. But I would have to imagine that that's mainly just Terry Fondo calls these kinds of like points of contact that you have with players, whether that's in, you know, the draft process or when you bring them in for workouts or whatever it is. So it just gives them an opportunity to look at them. And if they do want to place them on the practice squad, even probably not even for right now, but for later on, then that's a possibility. I would say specifically with to get into some of these guys like Ben DiNucci, the quarterback, he is just coming in to help this team get through this game again, this preseason game where Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. will not be playing. Perkins, the defensive end, I think is the one that's most intriguing in terms of being a player that, you know, we could see on the practice squad down the line perhaps. And I think maybe most of all, you know, C.J. Henderson, who the team signed last week. This wasn't one of the transactions from today, but that's a high-profile, you know, player at one point at least, having been a high draft pick, a higher draft pick than A.J. Terrell was. They came out in that same draft. And I think he's a player who, hard to say he's going to make the roster at this point, given like he just had his first practice today. But I do think that there's a reason why they wanted to go out and sign a player like him, which is maybe because there is an opportunity for a corner with some, not necessarily he's a big body corner, but he's a little bit longer than some of the other guys they have, like Natron Brooks, Clark Phillips, those types of players. So I think there's an opportunity for a cornerback of that profile to ultimately be on this team. I wouldn't be surprised, would be shocked if he's not on the practice squad, actually, C.J. Henderson. And I think he's got a chance to be on the 53-man roster.
Could that come at an expense of a guy like Clark Phillips?
Yeah, I think it could. And in fact, at this point, I would kind of already say that Clark Phillips is on the outside looking in of this whole situation in the secondary. I actually just kind of struggle to see him making the team at this point because he hasn't played, Chris. You know, like he just has not been on the field really since they got into a lot of the competitive portion of this training camp, which was, you know, kind of last week with the joint practices. And he also did not participate in the intra-squad scrimmage that the team had the week before that. He got, because that's when he suffered the rib injury that he currently has, is right before that intense scrimmage. And so he hasn't been involved in some of the best opportunities for him to really, you know, put on that competitive reps on tape. So tough for a player like him in this circumstance, but, you know, it is what it is. And it also doesn't help him the fact that, you know, it's a different coaching staff than the one that initially drafted him. So he doesn't kind of have that pull with the staff either.
What did you make of Zach Robinson's comments about why QB1 and QB2 will not be seeing any preseason action?
I think it's more of the same of what we've heard from the staff. And, you know, this is kind of led by Raheem Morris. You never know if, like, different coaches kind of have different perspectives but have to, you know, obviously follow the lead of what the head coach thinks is best strategically for the team at the time. I would say this, Chris, you know, just from having been out of practice today, I tweeted out earlier today that it was, like, a sloppy practice. I would stand behind that, at least offensively, that – you know, there was just, you know, some passes that you would expect to be completed that weren't at times. And you could just see guys just kind of dragging out there. I should say that it's the first, well, not the first practice in the heat, but they moved practice back an hour today. So it was a scattered, you know, time of day on top of it just being a hotter day in general. And it literally looked like the guys were feeling it. And so when it comes to preseason games, you know, it's the one thing I was looking at, again, on Twitter earlier today, Chris, and I just get this sense that, like, a lot of fans think that if they're not playing in preseason games, it means they're not getting work. You know, these guys are working extremely hard every day, and these reps that they're getting, I know it's called practice, but, I mean, these are reps that go on film that determine whether they're going to make the team or not, and these are professionals that we're talking about, so they take it very, very seriously. And I think that that just kind of gets underlooked at a little bit. And I think that when you think about, like, with Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris value, you know, I think that, you know, they put a lot of value in these snaps that these players are having at practice. And so that's what they're going to be judged on. And that's just the way it is here in Atlanta under this regime.
Talking all things Falcons with our insider, Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out Joe Patrick on Football, his podcast covering all things Falcons and NFL. When you guys put out your post-practice reports, which are very helpful, by the way, you, Mark Raimondi, Taren Walk, and you highlight the completion percentages for each quarterback during practice that you chart, I have noticed it's not alarming, Joe, but just there's been a couple of times where it's looked like Penix has missed more than a handful of throws. Is that something that has sparked your interest at all, or is it not a big deal?
I think it's less of a deal than some people, but it's not a no deal. You know, like there's definitely throws that he misses, and like today, you know, again, when I'm thinking about like the sloppiness of practice, I'm thinking about a couple throws that were there for the taking that just were not hit. I would say though that it's part of the reason why Penix's, I think, completion percentage is a little bit lower than you would hope to see out of your start out of a starting quarterback, even though some days it's very high. But like today, I think that Mark Raimondi had him charged at 10 for 17, for example, which is, again, not terrible, but maybe you could have, you know, reasonably expected maybe slightly higher percentage. It's because he's taking downfield shots. Like, this guy is trying to push the ball downfield and get big hits with his receivers. And the other aspect of this is that, from what I can recall, I think he's still only thrown one interception in this entire training camp. It was a red zone. Red zone drill and just an underthrown ball. But other than that, like, I can't remember him really throwing many. There might be one more than that I'm not thinking of. But I say that just to say that even while the completion percentage may not be what you would expect in some practices, it's not like he's really putting the ball in harm's way. And certainly I can't think of many times where there's been just like dropped interceptions against the defense that he's throwing to. So yeah, while you know that is what it is, the completion percentage, I'm not overly fussed about it because I feel like he's still, you know, leading the offense in a responsible way, and he does hit on some of these big passes. Which, Chris, like, you know, I've been covering this team since 2022, so I've seen Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, and Kirk Cousins basically take the helm at quarterback for this team in training camp, and none of those three were pushing the ball downfield as much or hitting downfield as much, obviously, as Michael Penix has this camp.
So you're talking about the noodle arm quitter, DoorDash Dez, and the broke down liar, according
that's
to our...
That's just mean, Chris. That's mean.
That's according to our good friend John Fricke. Speaking of mean, I don't want to be mean, but backup offensive line, Joe, not good.
Yeah. And this is where I have major question marks as to, you know, who is going to be carried on this 53-man roster and maybe how many players are going to be on this 53-man roster that are not currently in this training camp right now. Because I was talking to, one of our own, Mike Johnson, during the preseason game. I was just texting with him during that game on Friday night. And I was saying that, you know, I feel like the team could take their chance with just taking a reserve offensive lineman at every spot, basically beyond Storm Norton. You got Storm Norton, who's your swing tackle, even though he's been injured for the last couple weeks with a unspecified lower body injury. And then beyond that, it's a lot of guys who have kind of been around for a while and not seemingly have progressed like we have seen Ryan Neuzel progress. That's kind of the development that you hope to see out of your reserve offensive lineman, that you can't reasonably expect every one of them, first of all, even has the opportunity to like get in games and actually supplant the players ahead of them. But I guess you would just at least expect more from them in some of these preseason games to do some of the basics a little bit better, like get some push in the run game, especially when that's like, you know, the MO of what this football team wants to be. So I'm curious to know how many, you know, 53-man roster spots they're going to reserve for some of those guys instead of just letting them go to waivers and then claiming them back onto the practice squad, which I'm sure they would do with quite a few of them, versus going out and, you know, getting some guys who get dropped from other teams around the league.
So it looks like Casey Washington is a guy that's really been focused on a lot. Is it something where you feel like if Darnell Mooney can't go week one, like this guy's going to step in and get legitimate reps?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I would expect that Casey Washington, if Darnell Mooney is unavailable to play week one against Tampa Bay, which we don't know, but it certainly is within the realms of possibility as of now. I mean, like his status is very much up in the air, given the lack of, you know, transparency that we've had with regards to the injury, because the team isn't under no obligation to provide injury reports on their players or timetables or whatnot. So that being said, yeah, I mean, he is asserting himself as the X receiver for this team, you know, in Mooney's absence. And so if Mooney's unavailable to go, he would absolutely be on the field for, you know, a vast majority of the snaps, if not every single offensive snap, to be perfectly honest with you, Chris. I think it's worth specifying, like, at the receiver position, there's clearly defined roles. I know, like, you just kind of think about receivers as being receivers and, you know, one of them can play all of them, but there really are certain traits that the team looks for in each of the different roles. Those roles being the X receiver, the Z receiver, and the S receiver, which can also be a tight end, the S. But, you know, in the X, that's where Darnell Mooney is, and that's what Casey Washington would be. They want speed off the line. They want to be able to run vertically, and then they want to be able to separate off of one cut, whether that be on a dig, a post, a corner route and out, those types of things. The Z receiver, for example, like Drake London, they want him to be able to do a little bit more in terms of like finding the open gaps, and they move him in motion on the line of scrimmage. And so those just take different qualities. And I think that Casey Washington, when you look at what they're looking for in the X, he certainly does provide that athleticism, the explosiveness off the line of scrimmage. And I got to say, Chris, like, I see him getting open a lot in practice. We've seen Penix connect with him a lot. But again, one of those incompletions I was thinking of today was just like, you know, it looked to me like he had Casey Washington open downfield, just overthrows him a little bit, and you just hope to see that connection happen more often, but they certainly have been connecting, and it's one of the reasons why Casey Washington has found himself in the spot that he's in.
All right, so before I let you go, we raved about Kyle Pitts at the start of camp. Haven't heard much the last couple of weeks. What's he looked like? Is he keeping up with the regiment that we saw him doing at the beginning of camp, or is he falling off?
Well, you wouldn't have heard too much kind of like screaming from the mountaintops from yours truly here. Not because I think that Pitts is a bad player necessarily, but I just always felt like he's still going to be, I think, the same role in this offense that he's had. And like his attributes have not necessarily changed. And I think that the attributes that he has is the straight line speed. He does have an ability to, when he is able to catch the ball in some shorter routes and some space, he has some ability to stiff arm defenders and then pick up yardage after the catch, which is really nice. But in general, I never saw him as being this like high volume tight end target like we see some of the top tight ends in the NFL being. And I know that maybe that it was thought that that would change when Michael Penix said, you know, we got the ball to him a lot today after that first day of training camp. But generally speaking, you know, I'm more of a I'll wait and believe it when I see it. And ultimately, what I've seen so far in this training camp is him pretty much being the same guy. I will say this, though, Chris. He does seem to be targeted more specifically in the red zone, which I think is good. You know, it makes a lot of sense with a guy that has his size. You get him matched up against safeties who are smaller and just can't deal with him as easily. Have noticed him catching more of those types of balls in the back of the end zone. We saw him catch one against the Tennessee Titans, a nice one-handed catch that he was able to corral in. So I do think that there's some optimism for him in those situations.
Did I read the schedule correctly? You and Stakey on a Thursday, fastest 2 hours in sports? Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
You better buckle up, my friend.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. He lost his laptop last time we did the show on last Thursday, so it can only go up from there, I would hope, for his sake.
How did that – so he lost – were, like, all of his notes and, like, everything, so he was flying blind?
This, in the most steak fashion ever, he is apparently on his phone, like, leaving a breakfast or something, and puts his laptop on top of his car while he's getting in, and then just drives away with it on top of his car. And then the laptop was, like, on the middle of Peachtree Road.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
But it was intact, apparently. So
wow. Is that right? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You would have figured that thing would have been goner. Like, I would have lost all the farm.
It was not in great condition. Okay. But let's say the hard drive was still intact, like the black box, basically.
Oh, my goodness.
The black box of his laptop was recovered.
Well, Godspeed, my friend. And I'll be listening, and we'll check in later in the week. Thanks, Joe.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Chris.
All right, that is Joe Patrick there. Back to you guys now, 404-726-0929. If you didn't get a chance to weigh in on exactly what we're just talking about, Michael Penix Jr., Kirk Cousins are not playing in the preseason. It is officially official as of this morning. We all knew it, but now it's official. Do you care? 404-726-0929. Simple question. As simple as it can be. Do you care? We'll also get five true and false from O, and we'll let you hear from Zach Robinson on that decision. So a busy 7 o'clock hour coming up. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.